Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I want them to hear on that side that there's actually somebody back there. I promise you, one of these days I'm going to turn that camera around and you're going to be seen by the world, or at least the 50 people that look every Sunday. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, Go Where? Our scripture lesson today is John chapter 6, starting in the 65th verse. Excuse me. Starting in the 65th verse. And as we're looking that up, my father turned 80, as we well know, this past week, and I was laughing with him about something, and I decided to honor him today by doing a joke from his favorite all-time humorist, not comedian, the great Jerry Clower. Jerry Clower tells where he grew up in East Fork Liberty in Mississippi. There was two general stores on each end of town. And there was the one store that was right in town, but there was the other store out on the highway that traveled west to east or east to west, whichever way you happened to be going on it. And there was a little general store that served that area, run by Mr. Duval Scott. Mr. Duval Scott was a pillar of the community, and he was always out there helping everybody. And he loved the Lord, and he loved his church, and he never missed an opportunity to speak on him. Now, in Mr. Duval Scott's store, in the back corner of it was a stove and a sitting area like so many general stores. And back in them days, after they finished their routes, the school bus drivers would gather there to drink coffee and chew bacon fat and talk about things before they had to get back out on the road again. And they always loved being back there because they would get real quiet. Because you see, when Mr. Duval Scott had a customer come in and they bought something and he rang up the cash register, he would quote scripture. Little kid comes in one day and wants a nickel's worth of candy. And he bangs the cash register and looks toward heaven and says, "Let the little children come to me, for they are like the kingdom of God." And that was wonderful. And sometime later they was watching, and a fellow come in and wanted to get something to honor his father's birthday, and he bought something. And Mr. Duval Scott smashed that cash register, and he looked up to heaven, and he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, for that shall make thee beloved." Well, on along about time, one day this big old truck with a horse trailer pulled up in front of the store. Big fancy rig. You know how them horse people are. They got money and they want you to see it. Them horse people. And this thing was shiny, and the man walked in. And he said, "I need a blanket for my horse out there in the trailer." And Mr. Scott says, "I got one in the back. I'll be right back." And he comes back out with this nice horse blanket and he lays it down. He said, "That'd be $5. And the man says, "I don't think you understand. That is my prize horse out there. He ain't sitting under no $5 blanket." Mr. Scott says, "I think I have something better in the back." And he goes back and he picks up a blanket and he comes walking back out and he lays it down on the counter and he says, "That'll be $35. And the big fancy horseman says, "I think we have come to a misunderstanding. That is a thoroughbred champion horse out there. That horse ain't sitting under no $35 blanket." Mr. Scott says, "All right, I got one more in the back." Now, the school bus drivers are watching him because they know in the back he's got one kind of blanket. And so he goes back and he gets the blanket and comes out and he slams it down on the counter and he goes, "There, that'd be $100. And the man said, "That's more like it," and paid for it. And he walked out and the school bus drivers were watching because he knew that they was all the same blanket. And when he mashed the cash register, he looked up to heaven and he said, "He was a stranger, and I took him in." Go where? John chapter 6, verse 65. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one come to me unless the Father has enabled him." And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Let us ask God for His blessings on this service, that we may know Him better as we join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open up today, let us hear these words that You have laid out. These are not mine. We make sure of that. But they are for us to hear, for us to grow from, for us to move forward with in our daily walk. And these are words that will strengthen us when we tell people about Jesus Christ. And so let us hear them clearly as need be. And take us along, Father. In Jesus' name we ask the blessings on this service, and all of His children said, Amen. Now, I have to make a confession. When I was younger, I was not nearly as smart as I am right now. Now, why are you laughing? Because you can imagine how dumb I was back then. Now, when I was growing up, of course, I grew up on farms, grew up on dairy farm, and when I was growing up, I always heard these stories about how little kids would get lost in the cornfield and the whole community would have to turn out and go look for them. And I thought, this is the dumbest kid I've ever met in my life. How do you get lost in a cornfield? And my dad was talking about it one time, and my grandfather said something about it. So I was, 11, 12 years old, and I thought I was a pretty smart cat. I know my way around. I can track stuff out in the field. I can certainly track crumbs in the kitchen that leads to the last piece of pie. I should be okay in a cornfield. And so I decided that after we got done planting season, when our corn, just before we got ready to cut for silo, was at the right height, I was going to go into the biggest field we had and see how I fared. So I waited and I plotted. And we had one field over the backside of the hill that is a 20-acre lot, all planted in corn. And so it was finally as tall enough, I said, okay, now I'm going to try it. I'm going to prove the world how smart I am. And so I wandered into what I thought was the center, and I sat down for a while, and I closed my eyes, and I leaned back, and I listened, and I thought, well, I've been here long enough, and then I dozed off. I was so comfortable, and suddenly I woke up, and I was like, all right, well, time for me to head back out and show everybody what's going on. And I got lost. I got lost in the cornfield at 12 years old. I couldn't figure out where I was. I'd go this way, and my ears were cutting my arms and cutting my eyes and everything. And I was like, well, surely somebody's got to know I'm in this field. My four-wheeler's sitting out there somewhere. Nobody came for me. And I wandered and poked and poked and wandered. And I suddenly realized I was in a cornfield and could not figure out where I came in from or exactly where I was. And I started to wonder, now where do I go? Now where do I go? Got lost. You know how easy it is to get lost? Let me ask this question. And be honest, because we're in church. And he'll know. How many people, by show of hands, because I want everybody to be family here, how many people in this room have ever been lost in their life at least once? Some of you can put two hands up if you want. That's good. Everybody put their hand up. Everybody's been lost. And some people got lost coming to church here today, right? No? Yeah? No? Okay. Caitlin, you okay? Just checking. That's a terrible feeling, ain't it? That's that one where you turn down a street because you're following that dumb GPS nowadays, and the thing says, turn here, and you will arrive at your destination. And you turn, and the sign that you did not see because you were busy watching that dumb little screen, you're suddenly on a dead-end street. Now, how did that happen? Where am I at? And you get out of your car, and this is what everybody does. Get out of your truck, and you walk up, and you look through the dead end. Does the road keep going? Can I drive right through this forest? Can I get to where I've got to be? And you go back in, and you look at your GPS. Now where am I going to go? Go where? I don't know what to do. Being lost is not always funny. Sometimes it's kind of humorous. My wife and I last weekend, as you well know, was over on the shore for the Wilson Family Hoedown. And we were wandering around, and we decided we had to have breakfast. And after we got breakfast, we just pointed the truck in whatever direction it was. And we routinely got lost and had fun looking around. And, of course, you know why I got lost. I was checking them fence rows because I'm positive there are tractors over there yet to be discovered. But when you really get truly lost, there is that horrible sinking feeling. The story says from a Christmas a while ago, from Joseph Stahl in his writing to the Moody Monthly back in December of 1989, he said, we were on our annual Christmas trek to Chicago, and each year we decided to spend time with Grandma and Grandpa and visit museums. And this year we decided we would go shopping at the great suburban, gigantic Woodfield Mall. And in the midst of all the fun and excitement, somebody turned around and took notice that our 3.5-year-old son was gone. Panic set in. Terror. We had heard the stories of kids being kidnapped in the mall. And so we went to the restroom and rushed, and people would change their hairstyles and their clothes and take them out of the mall. And we became scared. And so we all split up. Everybody was assigned to a new location. And I said, I'll never forget that night. I was out in the parking lot kicking through the new fallen snow, calling out, screaming out his name. Lost. Unsuccessful, I trudged back to the meeting point. My wife had not found him. My mother had not found him. And we began to become very scared. And suddenly, here come my dad leading the little boy by the hand. The boy was smiling. Our hearts leapt for joy, and we found out the story. Matthew was untraumatized. He didn't know he was lost. He hadn't been crying. To him, there had been no problem. And I asked my dad, I said, where did you find him? He said he was at the candy counter over in the one store. You should have seen him. He came just about as high as all the candy on the counter. And he was holding his little head back and looking back and forth at the candy, trying to decide which one he should buy, and had lost all track of time. Matthew didn't look lost. In fact, he didn't know he was lost, and was oblivious to the danger around him. Joseph goes on to write, in this congregation, in this America nowadays, in this world, far too often we become lost to the danger around us. And when we suddenly realize it, we don't know where to go. Go where? You know the feeling once it happens. All that stuff starts to set in, doesn't it? When you're truly lost, and I don't mean in a funny way, I mean when something around you is lost, and I ain't talking about just in a vehicle or walking down the street. When you're truly lost, everything starts to take hold, doesn't it? You become discouraged. I think that's the first thing they say. I just can't believe I got lost. This is just silly. I just don't understand this. How did I get lost? Then you become angry. How comes nobody's looking for me? How am I supposed to get out of here? And you start blaming it on everything around you when you're lost. And then comes the fear. You remember what fear is, right? One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking in her small son into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he said in a shaky voice, Mommy, would you just stay with me tonight? Smiling, the mother came back and sat down on the bed and gave him a warm and reassuring hug and said tenderly, I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room. And a long silence followed, and finally the boy in a little shaky voice said, Okay, he's a big sissy. But we think about fear. Being lost is afraid. Because you don't know where. Where am I going? Go where? I don't know. I can't find my way out. Nobody seems to be looking for me. I'm lost. And again, I am not talking just about in the physical sense. You can be lost in here, in here. Early African converts would speak about Christians who had lost their way. The early African converts, because they had grabbed on to Christianity so hard, because they had been taught such wrong teachings, were earnest and regular in their private devotions. Written in a magazine article in Today in the World, it says, early African converts had a quiet spot where they would go regularly out in the thicket and pour out and realign their heart to God. Over time, you could tell where they were going because the path would be well worn to their spot. And as a result, if the believers began to neglect prayer, it became apparent to the others, and the early African converts would kindly remind that negligent person, "Brother, grass is growing over your path." When we get lost, we turn inwardly. That's how it is. That's a human basic thing. We are wired a certain way. I got news for you. No matter how bad you want it, no matter what you think right now, you are not righteous yet. And I'm the first one to tell you, even though I might tell you I'm righteous, and my wife looks at me and she picks up a rolling pin when she begins to tell me I'm not. And I guess that's just to give me a little tap reminder. We are not perfect. We are not washed out completely yet. We are not done with what goes on here. And as such, we fail. And when we get lost for a while, we turn inside and we become angry and we become hurt. And yet if we would just remember that the way out of being lost is to kneel down. Recently, if you didn't get to do it, I'm sorry you didn't. It was magical. Wendy and I sat down, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, and we watched the simulcast presentation or whatever it was electronically of David from Sight and Sound. Anybody else watch that on the TV there the other weekend? Oh my goodness gracious. It was beautiful. And David, talk about being lost. He was God's own. Everything about him was built perfectly. And yet, in the middle of all this, he took off Goliath's head. He fought and was brave. And he got himself into such a position that old Saul didn't want no more of it and run him off into the wilderness. And now he was lost. Go where? Why, Lord? In Psalm 34, he writes these words, a psalm written because of his pain in being that way. And if you go down into the 15th verse, you see, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one, listen to this last one, no one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Go where? We look at this scripture that's been written. If you go back into the first part of John 6 and you read what's going on, Jesus has plainly told everyone, this is what you have to do to obtain the eternal life. You have to believe in me. You have to do what's said. You have to follow this. And it's simple. In the song this morning we heard right before we got started hearing the singing, for God so loved the world. So is the word. That little teeny tiny word that ramps it up. He gave his only begotten son. That whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the way it was laid out. And Jesus says, you have to believe in me, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not yourself, not anything of this world. You have to eat of my flesh. You have to drink of my blood. You have to believe in me. And you're not going to the Father unless through me. And the disciples, which were many, beyond the 12, didn't want to part to that. That's too hard. We're out of here. And we read the scripture where after all of them start grumbling and depart, he turns to his disciples and says, "You do not want to leave too, do you? Lord, to whom shall we go?" Go where? Where are we going to go? You're it. You're the Son of God. We've seen it. We know it. You want to know how real it is that we're supposed to be hearing these words today? Anybody see the beautiful cover on the bulletin? Isn't it beautiful? For those who do not know, that is the nickel plate 765 of which I have witnessed that train. But that's not the part I'm talking about. The scripture is John 6:63. Jesus does not want us to be lost. God does not want us to be lost. Even in the midst of our despair, even in the midst of when we think it's all over, He's there. God leads, God protects, God guides. Just last Sunday, August the 18th, 1812, Captain Isaac Hull stood on the deck with his hands clasped behind his back, looking out across the wide expanse of the ocean, knowing what lay out there. Oh, by the way, Captain Hull was standing on the deck of the USS Constitution. He knew that just out on the horizon lay the might of the British Armada. And he was the only boat there. And he said to the people, he said to the sailors, "If they show up in force, we are lost." And so the person up in the crow's nest high aloft called out to Captain Isaac Stahl, boat sighted. And everybody rushed to the side of the rail and trained their glasses out. And coming across the horizon was one boat. The British were so sure of their destruction of us United States Americans that they only sent one boat and was going to smack him down. And so they sent over the HMS Guerrero, which kind of made me laugh because that's cheese, right? And it came to Isaac Hall, and the Constitution in that boat went at it for hours until finally the main mast of the HMS Guerrero was broken and the boat began to list and had to go away, and the battle was over and fought. And if you know the story of the USS Constitution, you know that the way the boat was built, as they battled against it, they witnessed the cannonballs from the British boat bouncing off the side. And on that day, they cheered, and the news reached back to America that old Ironsides had saved the sea. Go where? Go to Jesus. Go to the safety and protection of God. When you think you're alone, when you are lost, you are going to be taken care of. How do I know? Well, because I was told, because I've read it, because of a little thing I like to call the harmony of the Gospels. Verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We know and believe that you are the Holy One of God." And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we read these words. Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Go where? That's where. Go to Jesus. When you're lost, go to Jesus. There I was in that field, trying to figure out what in the world I have done to myself. I seriously thought, now mind you, I'm 11 or 12 years old and it's getting on towards supper time. And I think I'm going to die because I'm going to miss a meal. And I know that I'm going to get in trouble if I miss the meal, because it's Saturday night. And Saturday night was one of three meals usually. Fried chicken, ham, or pot roast. And I didn't want to miss it. And so I began to say, "I'm going out here. I'm going to find my way out. Somebody point me out the right way." And I just started running. And I was banging corn stalks out of the way and cuts all over my face. And all of a sudden up there in the end, there's daylight. I don't care where I come out. And I ran and I busted out of the field. Woohoo! And there was my four-wheeler 4 feet away. Anybody see me do this? I got on it and rode back to the house and came in. And my folks looked at me for a moment and they said, "Why are you so dirty? Clean up and sit down for supper." They didn't even know. We don't have to be lost. We don't have to be in that position. What we have to do is to remember what the disciples said. Go where, Lord? You're it. We can't turn from you. We won't turn from you. And Jesus has said, you'll be protected. The psalmist writer wrote, no one will be lost. And if you come to me, you will have the rest, and I will strengthen you. Brothers and sisters, you're going to get lost in about 15 minutes when you leave here somehow, some way, somewhere. Just remember that the prayer that you pray is what keeps you from being lost, eternally safe in the arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where you go. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We are blessed. And we ask that you would just never let us forget that you're there. We'll do what you want. We'll go where you send. But we're not going to go away from you. Where else would we go? We know where the life is. We know where the love is. We know where everything's at. We know, Father, because you sent us Jesus. And when he left, you left the Holy Spirit here to comfort us, the Comforter. Let us be ever mindful for it, Father, and let us pray and be lifted up. Thank you for all these things and for constantly teaching us. In Jesus' name we give thanks and praise.